Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M footy starts your weekend early.
How good is footy?
With every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot.
This
couldn't be more excited.
Is the Thursday Rub.
I'll just talk about myself and we'll be all right.
Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Only five rounds into the season, but it is a big-time acid test for the Brisbane Lions tonight. Only one win so far. They play a Melbourne team at the MCG at a venue that they simply do not like. It is a big game and a big way to start round five. But before we get there, we start your weekend the right way with the Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. I have a spring in my step every single Thursday now when I know I get to come to the footy and work with this crew. Lachie Neal to join us very shortly. Jake Bowie from the Demons to join us a little later on in the hour as well. But this box is star-studded. I start, of course, with the Queen of Triple M footy, Kate McCarthy, who is a star in her own right. There's no doubt about that, K-Mac. But her star has just risen that little bit further tonight when she debuts her own segment for the very first time here on the Thursday Rub.
Yes, well, it's about time that I got something of my own, isn't it? I'm very looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to it. It's coming up soon. Stick around for it. We've got a few very important people, though, to talk to before then.
We certainly do. We'll get to that. Does it got a stinger?
Yes, it does.
Well, then it's a genuine segment in that case. I look forward to that. Always look forward to working with Isaac Smith, the four-time premiership star who had his first foray at Gather Round. You seem to enjoy yourself, Is. Good to see you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm a social person, enjoyed being around a lot of people. But something blew my mind today.
Go on.
Well, I walked into the commentary box and Kate obviously got here first. And I thought we rocked up to World Series cricket with what she's rocking. She has come off the absolute long run in that canary yellow.
Describe what she's wearing, Isaac.
She's got the long sleeve on, so she's a bit sun cautious, which is good in cricket these days.
I always wore the long sleeve.
Yeah, and just full canary yellow. It's unbelievable. Well, I love it. I love the kit, but we're at the MCG. She's coming from the city end and...
The city end.
Sorry, I don't just rock boring black T-shirts, Isaac.
Yeah, Kate's just going to tell Isaac to piss off in the ad break. I would have thought. JZ Clark, nice to see you. Now, everyone sort of crawled back into Melbourne on Sunday night. Kate and I were on the late flight out on Sunday night on Rex, which was a brand new experience for all of us, but we got the Rextra leg room and we were right.
Those of us that have real jobs.
Rextra leg
room. But you look remarkably fresh, Jay.
Yep.
Where were you last week?
No, I stayed in Melbourne and I'm not unhappy about it because everyone went over and had their big booze ups and come back a bit tired. I was fresh, went to the gym, got a kick with the kids.
Did you go to the gym?
Caught up with some stuff.
Well, he's a boxer. So.
Always needed to keep on top of the fitness, Isaac. I blow out pretty darn quick, it's fair to say. So I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah, I missed the gather round, it's fair to say. Daisy was the one who took the three votes last weekend, and he was in fine form on the Sunday Rub. But I just look out of the MCG now. I'll tell you what, if the Lions don't, it's amazing. You know, they played in the grand final last year. I think we all tipped them to get to the last weekend in September again or thereabouts. They can't get the chocolates tonight against one of the best sides in the competition. Just about put a line through them, I reckon. So it's a massive night for the Lions. And I walked in, and I will get to the game preview in a second, but you guys all said that Brisbane win tonight. Did I hear you right?
Well, yes. I think
big upset on the cards.
Yep. I think that I know last week was against the Kangaroos, and I understand that they're not where anyone sort of thinks that they're going to be pushing for September, but I don't know. I just got a feeling about tonight. I think the players that needed to hit form, they found it. They got what they needed out of it. And I think that they'll take that into tonight. And Melbourne have been going very well. Don't get me wrong. I think them and Geelong are probably the two in-form teams of the competition. But I just see Brisbane getting the job done tonight.
Yeah, GWS might have something to say about that. But Melbourne have been up and they've been playing great footy since round zero. They look terrible against Sydney Swans. Mm. But their next four games from there have been exactly what they needed. They've won two games in Adelaide. They had a long time over there. I just feel like they might be off a little bit and Brisbane will start to fire.
If they lose tonight, they'll be 1-5.
Yep.
Are they done if they lose tonight?
That's my point. I think it gets really hard. I mean, the statistics say if you go 0-3 to start the season, teams don't make finals.
1-4, sorry. Yeah.
If they go down tonight and then their draw's quite difficult from here, clearly.
Geelong and GWS,
and then even Gold Coast are much improved. That's a cute clash up there. So if they can't get the chocolates tonight and turn around their season, it's going to be really difficult for them. So it's high stakes. There's no doubt about that. And you guys would know that. So coming into, we often fall into it, or the fallacy, every game's just worth 4 points. You know, like, oh, we don't take any games, no more important. Like, I think that's balderdash. Like, surely you would come to the MCG tonight knowing that you have to turn around. This is a big game.
Yeah, well, Fags would know the profile of the Brisbane players, and if they work and play better when he turns the heat up or he backs it off. So I'm sure he understands the levers to pull. Whether it works or not, who knows? The thing about footy is you're always playing against an opposition, and you're not sure what they're going to throw out at you. But if they lose tonight, it makes it very difficult. They can still get on a run and make it into the eight, but you're behind the eight ball the whole time. When I was playing, a lot of the things we used to talk about is just try and be 3-3 after six, or 4-4 after eight. And if that's worst case, that's fine. But what you don't want to do is fall behind after eight rounds. You don't want to be a long way behind the eight ball.
Well, last time they were 1-3, they ended up winning the next 10 out of the 11 and charging into the finals. So I don't know. I'm not writing them off just yet, but I definitely agree. Tonight definitely has huge ramifications for their season. And I think that's the other thing that puts a little bit more on the line for them. Whereas Melbourne flying 4-1, stakes are a little bit lower for them at this time of the season. So I think that plays into Brisbane's hands.
The one thing I will say, though, is what Melbourne will be thinking is, we know that Brisbane are a premiership contender if they get going. If we can knock them off tonight, we're effectively putting them out of the race. That's what they'd be thinking.
A lot of speculation swirling around Clayton Oliver, the Melbourne superstar, and whether he would play tonight. He has an injured finger that he's been sort of trying to mend. There has been a bit of talk that he might miss tonight. I think they got the bye the week after. I am told he will play, Clayton Oliver. So I actually haven't seen him out on the ground yet, but sources say that he will play tonight. So we'll wait for teams. I think will come out in the next 10 minutes or so. But he is a big one. Speaking of big games, Isaac, you stormed into the competition back in 2011 for the Hawthorn Football Club.
What's coming here?
And you made the preliminary final that year. Now, yep. I did. It was against Collingwood.
Yeah, it was, yep.
And the Magpies won. They took on the Cats in the 2000.
Yeah, they did. Someone didn't man someone up at a stoppage and they kicked a goal right at the end, yeah.
Who was that?
No names.
Wouldn't now, have been you.
I got told this week that in preparation for that game, a massive final, you know, everyone's got their game faces on.
Be really, I know where you're going.
Really pumped up, and you know, Clarko would have you wound up like a top and you'd be really focused. I heard that you walked to the MCG in preparation for the 2011, basically holding hands with Scott Pendlebury. Was that right? You like you cuddled up next to him. Oh, Scott, you know, tell me about this, Scott. Tell me about that, Scott. Try to absorb all the knowledge and information. Is that right?
No, I didn't give two stuffs what Scott had to say, to be honest. But I remember that night vividly. And I lived in Richmond, and I was driving down Swan Street, as I always did, and some peanut at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon that was driving a truck thought he could plough straight through the Punt Road, Swan Street train bridge. So he shut Punt Road when there was expected to be 95,000 at the MCG.
Night of the prelim.
So I'm rolling in my old Toyota Camry that I had at uni. Oh, gee, it was a good car. Never broke down. Never had to get it serviced. It was unbelievable. But anyway, I'm rolling in the old Toyota Camry, and I've had to go down, is it Olympic Boulevard?
Yep.
And could not find a park. And my car was that crap that I thought, this doesn't matter. The thing with the Toyota Camry was, I said, I'm going to change cars when it breaks down. I'm not getting it serviced. And it never bloody broke down. So I was still driving it. Anyway, I said, I'm just going to leave this on the footpath on Olympic Boulevard, and they can just tow it. I don't care where they take it. I'll buy a new car the next day.
You're kidding.
I was due. Now, anyway, there was only one car park over there, and I drove in. And she goes, the lady at the ticket box goes, that'll be $20, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't have cash on me. I've only got car. And she goes, well, you can't park here. I said, if I can't park here, I'm leaving my car right here. And she goes, sorry, I can't let you in. You're going to have to leave. I said, well, I'll leave. I'll get out of my car and you can deal with the car. And unbeknownst to me, Scott Pendlebury was sitting behind me because that's where the Collingwood players would park, because they used to go back to whatever the Holden Centre or whatever it was called at that point in time. And he's like, I got $20 for him. Here you go. He can park in there.
He's paid for your parking.
And to this day, I've never paid him back.
I think the other part of that story, Jay, is
Like, when you hear that Isaac Smith was walking in a public place with Scott Pendlebury holding hands,
yep.
How does that make you feel? Do you feel like it's cutting your grass?
Not bad. I've copped a lot over the journey. I haven't copped that one. So you walked up with him.
No, we
walked over into the ground together. Yeah, played the prelim final. And
against each other?
Against each other.
Okay. Yeah. So you owe him 20.
Yeah, well, I reckon he can afford it.
Clearly he hasn't forgotten.
Hey, that's when you can afford it if you never forget it.
He'll be listening.
Lachie Neale's going to join us very, very shortly. 250 games tonight. I was thinking about this on the way here. Where does he sit in terms of the modern game? So say the last 15 years in terms if you were to try and rank him. He's a two-time Brownlow medalist. Where does he rank amongst the greats of the last 15 years or so?
Oh, I think he's been... I think you said it before, Isaac, and I don't want to steal your thunder with what you had to say, but if he was in Melbourne and he was a footballer playing for a Melbourne football club, he would be one of the biggest stars going around at the moment. Two-time Brownlow medalist, three-time All-Australian. He's won everything that there basically is except for a premiership. And... in my eyes, he's one of the best that goes around. I guess he's just a little bit out of the off-Broadway coming from playing up in Brisbane. So I think that's something that has a little bit against him as to whether his status is superstar status. But in my eyes, one of the best players going around at the moment.
Yeah, I can't add anything to that other than he, to me, is the cleanest footballer I've ever played against.
Really?
Him below his knees and his ability just to fire out a handball, hold his ground, be able to... He's as good as I've seen. I'm sure there's probably someone who is a better and we can pull it all apart, but he's as good as I've seen. And his ability to win that first contest, extract it, then feed it to one of his players. We've probably got, over the last decade to 20 years... we've got the starter in Lachie Neale.
Mm.
He's as good as we've seen. And we've nearly got one of the best finishers as a midfielder in Christian Petrarca going head-to-head. So, yeah, I couldn't speak more highly of Lachie and how he's went about his career.
That is big claim of the cleanest player you've played with. Hey, whispers getting out at Caleb Daniel might be dropped for the Bulldogs. Massive game against Essendon coming up tomorrow night.
I've just received a text off my father. And he said, your father paid the $20 at a pizza shop in Mornington to Scott back in December 2012.
Did he?
So I owe you nothing.
The tab has been squared up.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have you with us on the Thursday, Rob. Of course it is, as always, for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals and drink responsibly. Jay-Z Clark, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith and Jack Heverin. And we only talk to the superstars, of course, on Triple M Footy, particularly when they're in a milestone game. And it's game number 250 tonight for Lachie Neale. And he joins us on Triple M Footy. Lachie, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty weird playing 250. I feel like I only started 5 years ago, but it's flown by, so thanks for having me on.
Are you the sort of person that thinks about these milestones and looks back, or is it all about what's coming up?
Yeah, not really. I don't really think about them too much. You obviously know when they're coming up, and I actually organised a bit of a function last week, but I missed a game early in the year, so all my family and friends were pumped that I was going to play my 250 in South Australia, organise a nice dinner and everything, and it was celebrating the 249th. So the last time I do that, I've never done that before, and it didn't work out.
You would have picked up the bill, wouldn't you, Lachie?
No, you know that, Izzy.
Actually, I've got a bone to pick with you on that front later.
Oh, here we go.
That's a separate conversation. Hey, Lachie, congratulations, mate. 250 games. That's an unbelievable achievement. Co-captain. Been the best player in the competition twice now. So congratulations. Fremantle will still be shaking their heads if they let you go. But that's another story. Hey, I'm a short man myself, so I say this out of absolute respect. But how have you taken on all the biggest bastards in the AFL in the centre square and just got the job done for such a long period of time? The other clubs fell in love with the 190 centimetre tall on baller, the Pendlebury, the Bontempelli, etc. Then you got Petrarca tonight, who's a strong man himself. How have you done it at, what is it, 177, 178 centimetres? Because it's gone against the grain a little bit.
Yeah, it probably has a little bit. I think, I'd take the bond over myself any day as well. So I think for me, early on, I had guys like David Mundy, Mick Barlow, Nat Fyfe, obviously, Ryan Crowley, like absolute monsters in the midfield, and early on I probably got to go about my business and learn my craft with those guys copping all the attention, and had some great midfield coaches. One in particular was Brett Kirk at Freo, who he's not the biggest man himself, and he taught me a lot of craft stuff at stoppages and how to win the footy against some bigger men. And yeah, he was huge for my development, and Ross as well. He just backed me into and put me in against, like back then it was, oh, it still is, Paddy Dangerfield and guys like that. Coming up against them, backed me in against those from a young age. So I've had a lot of experience in the midfield over a long period and learned some things along the way.
Lockie, I'm shattered, mate. This is Triple M and we don't need that serious beeswax around here. The reason you've been able to hold up for 250 games is not because you're short, it's because you've got the thickest calves I've ever seen in footy.
Yeah, well, that's just genetics, mate. I was blessed from an old man. He's got big calves. So they've just followed on. Everyone asks me what my calf program is, and I literally, like, I do body weight 15 reps a week, like nothing. So probably don't follow that, but I've just been blessed with the old man with the tree trunks.
Do you have custom socks when you got to visit?
No, I just ask for the short ones because I can't fit any of them over my calves. So I've got to get the short ones that don't even make it there.
Now, Ethan Meldrum, who works here, is a big fan of Brett Kirk. He loves his work, loves a particular speech that he did on a Sunday afternoon at football.
Yeah, another one.
You spoke about him the other night as well in an interview that you did, that he was very significant, the impact that he's had on your career. Talk us through that, and obviously the development. You were in sort of an earlier part of your career when you had him as your coach. What sort of things did he offer you that have really turned you into this two-time Brownlow medalist who's going to go down as probably the top 10 in Brisbane Lions folklore?
Yeah, I think from Kirky, he was such a, I suppose, hard man. Like, he was so hard to play on when he was playing, and he brought that defensive aspect to the game. So certainly early on, and I'm still not the best defensively, but he sort of instilled some of those traits in me to allow me to play, because Ross wouldn't pick anyone that didn't defend. So I was not going to be any chance if I didn't start doing that. So he was great for that aspect. And then, like I said, just my craft, being a little bit of a wiry man himself, he had to use getting behind your opponent, little fake jab steps. It's sort of like basketball moves, I suppose, in a way, to create a bit of space and just timing of hitting bodies. And he was so good at that. He used to smash us at training. Like, I'd go one-on-one with him, stoppage work, and he'd beat me every time. And just learnt so much from those sessions.
Lockie, just the one win from the four games so far. Tonight's a really tough game against one of the form teams in the competition, and then it's a tricky run for you after that. So you've got Geelong, of course, and then GWS, Gold Coast, much improved.
One week at a time, please.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. But and I know...
You just think about last week in September, I get you there.
We fall into this trap, and perhaps it's a bit of a cliche at times, Lockie, but it does really feel like tonight is just a massive contest for you. I know it's early in the season, but it really feels like you've got to get it going. I'm looking at your coach at the moment, Chris Fagan, out in the middle now. I mean, he's a stress ball at the best of times, but it is. Do you feel like this really is a bit of a line in the sand game for you guys tonight?
I don't know about line in the sand. It is a massive game, and I think we've built pretty good contest against Melbourne the last few years, and these games have always been quite close in the last couple of years as well. So we expect to provide a great contest for fans and everyone to watch, and hopefully we can bring that same energy and enthusiasm. I think last week we got back to enjoying our footy. It probably felt early on maybe the weight of expectation was playing on people's minds, and we weren't playing instinctive footy, and we weren't going out there and having fun, and we just brought it back to the basics last week of enjoying our footy, and we want to bring that again tonight and play with energy, and we're obviously up against it with the away crowd, so bringing that ourselves and just having fun out here. I think that's what footy's about as well, taking it back to those junior days of we play the game because we love it. So that's hopefully what you'll see tonight, and hopefully we play some good footy because of it.
Game number 250 for Lockie Neal tonight. He's talking to us on the Thursday Rub.
And Lockie, there's been a lot spoken about your evolution as a player, how you've worked through, how you've come from Frio and turned into the two-time Brownlow medalist that you are. And I want to talk about your evolution away from football, the tattoos. So I'm a big fan of tattoos. We all know that. Got about 150 of them myself.
Got really? Me covered.
I've seen the...
150?
Yeah, I reckon. I haven't counted, Jay, so wouldn't know.
Don't put bumper stickers on a Ferrari.
Oh, all right. I've noticed when you sort of first arrived at Brisbane, a bit of a clean skin for what we could see, and then last year went with the Swallows on the arm, and now the off-season's been big for you. You've got a few floating around all over the arms. Will it just continue from here?
I don't know if I'll get any more, but you never say never. But I've sort of had a plan, I suppose, a little bit to get a few smaller ones, and a lot of them are places I've travelled to or things that mean significant things to me. So I've got like some wheat for the farm, a crayfish for where my old man lives in Robe, just little things like that that I've sort of wanted to get for a while, and I thought in the off-season's a good time to do it, because I got the swallows, funny story, I got the swallows last year during the season on a day off, and they were so sore for that weekend's game. I was like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Did you get the three votes?
Nah, I probably had my worst game of the year, but but we won. We beat Carlton at Marvel, I think it was. So lucky we got the win, because I was horrific.
Lockie, before we let you go, I mean, you've still got a lot of good footy ahead of you, but do you start to think about what's next? Do you start to think about the future? Like, what's Lockie Neal going to be doing in 5-6 years from now?
Tattoo apprenticeship.
You've written me off in 5 years.
No. if you're still playing at 35, we'll still be here cheering you on.
No, I have for sure. I think I've got a couple of things that I've got my eye on in the future. I'm doing my MBA at the moment at uni, so just online, ticking that off slowly. And then,
oh, if you need any tips, mate.
Oh, my God.
From you. I finished my MBA, Jake.
I might just send a few assignments
in business.
You can do them for me.
Not every interview has to come back to you.
I thought this is what Triple M was about. Pump your own tires up.
Oh, dear. I've lost my train of thought now. But I've done my coaching courses as well, so I can step into that field. And I'm doing a little bit with Dom Ambrosio, our list manager, throughout the year as well. So I'm enjoying sort of testing out all those things.
When you pop into his office, what does he say about Hugh McCluggage's deal, Lockie?
I haven't asked him, and that's a very good question. We've got to get him signed up soon, don't we?
You always get serious, Jake.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, back to you, mate. Oh, what did you do today? very good, Lockie. All the best tonight, mate. Congratulations on a fine career so far. Jack says you've only got a couple of games left, so it's been nice.
Yeah, enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the night.
Lockie Neal chatting to us on the Thursday Rub. What about Isaac Smith? You know how... You know someone who, you know, if someone says they've been to the Rialto,
yes.
Someone says, oh, I know someone that skydives off the Rialto. You're fast becoming that person.
No, not at all. I just said if he needs any help, because I know being a footballer doing that type of study can be difficult. So I just
What advice would you have for him, Isaac?
I did night school because he said he's doing it online and that's extremely difficult. Yeah. That's my advice. Yeah, no, it is.
Well, you mean like on a computer or?
Well, as footballers, we don't really know how to turn them on. isn't that what the public think?
Oh, gosh.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
We're away on the Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Nice night for footy. It's the Demons and the Lions to come a little bit later on. Kate McCarthy's award-winning segment, not too far away as well, but let's get down to the boundary. Jake Bowie not out there tonight for the Demons, but has been good enough to join us here on Triple M Footy for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Jake, thanks for your time. How are you tracking?
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. Moving well. Shoulders come along pretty nicely. Getting heaps moving back, which is good, so it shouldn't be too far away.
Looking forward to having you back, Jake, here in great form when you copped the blow. Jeez, it was a courageous act too, mate. I winced from the couch watching that collision. Hey, tell us about Colton Tholstrup. He's making his debut tonight. He looks like an exciting, powerful unit from Esperance in WA. What have you seen on the training track?
Young Colt. He's a bit of a bull. Expect him to go straight up to his opponent tonight and give him a bit.
Do you know what he weighs?
I'm not actually sure. He's got me covered, that's for sure. He's a young talent, goes hard at the footy, and he's got a bit of a personality, which is great.
What does he get up to? Tell us, what does he play? Loud music? He's got the bright sunnies on.
Yeah, he loves those Oakleys. I think he's got a deal with Oakley, so he loves them. He wears some horrendous kits around the club, actually. Came in the other day in a Ferrari top, 3-quarter boardies and some Crocs, so
Does he have a Ferrari wallet?
No, actually I'm not sure.
I've got one of those Velcro ones that you open up.
Yeah, with the chain that you attach to your shorts. Yeah.
Is the hair natural or is it a perm?
I think it's natural, actually. Ooh, which is pretty impressive.
Tight locks.
Mm.
Now, Jake, we obviously know you're working back towards coming back into the side. You've started to get some good movement back there. What's been your role sort of, I know obviously rehab and working back through the shoulder injury or the collarbone injury, but what role have you played sort of through the week, obviously staying involved with the team, staying around that back line? What have you done with that?
So we've had a few injuries to the back line. Marty Hall broke his thumb, so we've had a few position changes. So Andy Monies Wakefield's gone to halfback, and Taj Woden's also gone there. So I've been helping out with their bit of their role and watching them play VFL and a few practice matches and helping them sort of get it down pat. And just sitting in the AFL line reviews, which is it's always good to see what the boys think of how they played. So that's about all I've done so far.
Have you enjoyed doing that? Do you think coaching might be something you'd want to maybe step into post-career?
I'm not too sure yet.
Yep.
I haven't really dived into anything, but I'd love to be Choco. I love what Choco does, sort of bit of a kicking coach, kicking wizard. That looks pretty fun, and he gets to rip the boys every now and then. So
I just saw him carrying out the fake men that everyone kicks to goal.
Yeah, he's got a. He says he lives footy 24/7, which is fairly true because he dreams about drills and what he's going to bring to training. So yeah, the men are everywhere at training and on game day apparently.
What's the most creative or what some of us would term weirdest thing that Choco's ever done at training?
I couldn't tell you the weirdest, but he's got some drills where he tries to explain them, but I'm not sure he knows the drill either. So you're standing in the center square at training and he's talking for a couple minutes and it just keeps going. You got to kick to here, do a spin, bounce, kick, dribble kick, round the corner. And yeah, by then we've got no idea. So,
well, it'd be nice to be able to go down to Casey Fields and watch training. But the last time,
that's a long way out.
Well, Goody actually kicked me out. I wasn't even allowed to watch.
That's because it might have been a close training that day.
Dumpster. Like, I could see anyway, Goody. Like, give me a spell, mate. Anyway, I'll continue to take that issue up with him. Hey, tell us about the vibe inside the camp, Jake, because it sort of has felt a little bit. Us against the world. We had Goody on the Thursday rub last week, and obviously, you know, it seemed like the sky was falling in earlier in the season. It's obviously been very well documented about Clayton's situation, and now he's playing fantastic footy. But from your view, how would you just describe the feeling and the culture powering the Melbourne Football Club at the moment?
Great question.
Thank you.
That's all he needs.
You didn't do that, Jake.
It does feel like that. It's Melbourne against the world at the moment. I wasn't in Adelaide, but the two games we won were pretty impressive to watch on the telly. They came back with this big confidence. The boys are sort of, closest mates we've ever been. Just sort of had to stick tight through all the media and stuff that's getting written about us. But, Goody's been awesome in keeping us tight and, getting us through week to week.
Melbourne's list manager have done a fantastic job to build the list you have right at this point in time, but it feels like the Luke Jackson trade has certainly opened a few other avenues up to keep the window open a little bit longer. There's some great young players on your list and that are impacting at AFL level. Who are the guys that impress you most this year?
I was watching last Thursday night, and Judd McPhee and Caleb Windsor, I was so excited watching them play. I've been working with Juddy a fair bit. In his first year, he didn't look like playing a game. And then the next year, he came out and dominated pre-season. And now I'm looking at him, seeing him lock down the best key small forwards and winning his own footy. Also with Caleb, he's just so clean, good user. Stolen my thunder a bit. I thought I was pretty good at that, but he's got me covered already.
Well, it's funny because I thought my question was a little bit better than Jay's, and you sort of complimented him.
That was pretty good too.
Hey, Jake, before we let you go, my understanding is that you, for work experience, spent a bit of time with JB and Billy on the rush hour. Did you learn anything?
I sure did. Jill Good got me that through my best mate at school, and it was a fun week. I was just a coffee boy, so.
My original question stands, did you learn anything?
I learned how to take a bit of shit from the fellas. That was about it.
Hey, Jake, thanks for joining us. Can't wait to see you back out there soon.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, guys.
Jake Bowie joining us from the Demons. It's a good point yours, Jay, about Melbourne and the vibe and all that sort of stuff. They look like they're They look like they're having a lot more fun this year than what they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive test for them tonight, clearly. It's been well stated, or the issues they've been through and the ongoing sort of court action that's happening through their ex-president. So I'd love for Simon Goodwin to speak honestly and have a genuine interview about what his past 3 years have been like. It would be an incredible storytelling exercise. Like, I think he's shown great resilience, Simon Goodwin, and even in the face of Clayton Oliver's issues over the past few months, have stood up to him. He's their best player, or just about. They have stood up to him, and they have said, you know, we can't have this anymore. And it's risked him leaving the club. So I think that's to be admired. But there's another big story to unfold out on the MCG tonight.
And that us against the world mentality. I had an old coach up in Brisbane, Craig Starcevich, and he loved it. That was our mantra basically the first couple of seasons. No one in Melbourne thinks we can play football. Yeah. They've written us all off. And I think it really unified us as a group. It was something we really thrived on. And I think you're right. I think that's really brought this Melbourne team together this year. And it's a bit of a who cares what anyone says about us. Write us off at your peril, because we're going to come out and we're going to show you what we're made of.
Well, we spoke about this just before Sydney on our first ever Thursday rub. And there's nothing more in football that brings you together as when the public and the outsider are against you. And, yeah, Melbourne have been, other than round zero, flawless.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
About half an hour away from the bounce of the ball between the Demons and the Lions to start round five. This is the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. And, of course, drink responsibly. Jay-Z Clark, Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Jack Everin, Luke Darcy to join us for the call of the game very, very shortly as well. Not too far away from now, Jay-Z wants to pose just a couple of little questions, and I think he's sort of got a bit of his chest puffed out after getting a good question in the previous interview with Jake Bauer. You were happy with that one, Jake?
Well, I'm just looking at Chris Fagan, to be honest, Jake, and he just looks grumpy to me. I love Fagan, but at the moment he's edgy. He's stepping side to side. He's looking out there, looking at Melbourne players, looking at his players. Are they on tonight? Are they off tonight? Like, look at him now going into the dugout. He's like a rooster scratching at the grass. You know him well, Isaac. Well, he could be a bit grumpy and edgy at times, so he needs to relax the grape. And I love him. I'm his biggest fan. But sometimes I just wish he'd chill out for a little bit.
Oh, I think he's just got a resting bitch face. He just... he's one of my all-time favourite
faces. He's a legend.
I used to wind him up that he was a little bit grumpy. And Isaac, on the inside, I'm happy. It's just my face.
Do you know who else is a bit like that?
Who's this?
Beloved footballer. Beloved teammate. I'm even nervous to say it. Jared Ruffhead is the most...
You nearly mate. Didn't say that.
He'd hate you.
I know he would. And I love you, Ruffy. But sometimes he could be... Yeah, you go interview and you think, yeah, how are you, Ruffy? And he always not get a lot of love back. It's fair to say for a anyway, hello to you, Jared. You'll be listening.
Now, the excitement is building. We can't make you wait any longer, because when we got the run sheet tonight, something has appeared for the first time on the Thursday rub, Kate McCarthy. What is coming up?
Well, it's a little bit of a segment that I'm going to run weekly, provided it goes all right tonight. If it doesn't go well, it's just going to be a once-off. But yeah, we're just going to chat a little bit about specific things that are either topical or non-topical about how you guys feel about them in the football world.
Have you got a stinger?
I do. Let's roll it.
Oh.
Now on the Thursday rub.
So a bit of spice in this one.
What are you?
It's Kathy's questions.
Some people get it, some people don't.
Oh,
I like the stinger.
Yes. Crisp. Strong start.
Now, the first thing I just need to preface, for those of you that don't know, I know it hasn't probably stuck at Triple M yet, but my footy nickname is Kathy. So Jay came in and was like, who's Kathy? What's going on? Why is Kathy asking questions? So Chatty Kathy got the nickname. Obviously, can chat. There was a really creepy 80s doll called Chatty Kathy. Look that up when you get home. And it was dangerous areas. But that's how I got the nickname, Chatty Kathy. So without further ado, I will pose to you Kathy's questions. So, Isaac, we're going to start with you. Debutante. So there's one out here tonight. Do you remember your debut match, calling your parents or telling your family? Because we see it all the time now on social media. First of all, surely these parents know when they're getting a FaceTime from their son that they probably are getting the call up, because I don't think they would get FaceTime too often. Do you remember calling your parents and your family?
I don't really remember calling my parents, but I remember, actually I do, I remember when I received the call, I was doing work placement at Canaccord, which is a stockbroking firm. Clarko called me on the Wednesday morning, I was in the lift going up, and a guy who I'd just met, I told him, yeah, I just had a bit of a funny call. Clarko called me, can I go and call my dad, because I'm playing this week. So, yeah, I do remember calling, and yeah, it was yeah, a little bit surreal and quite exciting and something you always dream of, and yeah, it was awesome.
What was their reaction like?
Dad would have been over the moon.
Was it anything like this? If we just have a listen to Colton Foolstrip from the weekend, or from this week, sorry, his mum reacting.
Hello. Mum. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
I'm playing tomorrow night.
Oh.
No, I am. I'm not even.
Oh, cool.
You're joking. Oh, my God. Well, that means I need to.
I'm going to get on the road, so.
I've got to get some flights.
Yeah.
Oh, so
you've
got to get a hair done.
Oh, I have my hair done? When's the game?
Tomorrow night.
Oh,
Mum, yeah, you're...
No,
you're you're on camera.
I think I swore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did swear about six times. But great reaction from her, from Mum. Very excited. Obviously, she'll be here tonight, but... Yeah, over the moon. I guess that's the way it can go sometimes when you're filming someone that's unknown and drops a few F-bombs on the surprise.
I'm interested how the stockbroking career went too, Isaac. How'd that go, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah?
You seem a little bit surprised by a few of the things I've done. Actually very learned and human. Quite educated. Done right, a lot of work placement, got my master's.
I'm a poor journalist, mate, so I need a few of your tips.
All right, next one we've got, this is for everyone. Debutants named as subs, yes or no?
No.
No, I don't have a big problem with it. I think it's okay.
So yes?
Yep, it's okay.
No.
Yeah, I'm a no as well. We've got Lockie Neal 250th tonight. This one brings me to my next point. We have BT, who has a real issue with some chair offs and when they're used and when they're not.
Yeah, speaking of grumpy.
Oh. You say that now he's left.
So in the box, guys, what do we think? How many games is it appropriate to be chaired off for?
250.
That's the starting point?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, 200 I would have said.
You don't get a chair for 200.
Well, you and I won't, but... Yeah.
Depending on the career, 200. So, like, for example, Cyril Rioli didn't play 200, I don't think. But if he plays 200, he gets chaired off.
Nah, it's not a
So bad. How does the conversation go when you tell someone they're not worthy of a chair at 200?
Yeah, how does that happen?
Stiff.
How do you work that out, actually? Is it...
I'm not exactly sure.
Like, does Gary Rowan get the chair off for the 2-inch?
You see this weekend, is he?
No, I just made, just pluck the name.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. If his mates go and lift him up, I'm not there. But, yeah, I was fortunate enough to get chaired off, and I was so uncomfortable with it. I'd rather just, in my last game, I just tell my kids and walked off. But, yeah, there's different 200 games to other people, but probably 250. Unless there's...
You're with me.
Yeah.
Gary Rowan's played 192 for that. So interesting decision.
Just off the top of your head, is it?
Off the top of
my something head. To think about for the Cats.
Yep.
And how do you work out then? Who determines who's the chairer? So who becomes the chair? Who chooses that? Is it the chairee or is it the people that decide they want to step up and do that?
The chairer.
Chairer.
It's usually good friends of the person that chair them off. So... You might not get your best mates because they might be doing something, but the two that come together that you're somewhat close to would be the guys that chair you off.
Who chaired you off?
I reckon Liam Shields and maybe Jack Gunston or Luke Bruce when I was at Hawthorn, when I was at Geelong.
Shields and Bruce? That would have been the shortest chairers of all time.
You can talk.
But normally, well, I mean, Mitch Duncan...
When I was at Geelong, I'm pretty sure it was Paddy Dangerfield and Mitch or Jezza. The two of them were close mates.
Yep.
I was worried for Mitch Duncan under Tom Hawkins at the week.
I was
Monday.
Worried for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duncan was really starting to buckle.
Yeah. They're not paying Duncan anywhere near what they're paying Jezza, and I was really worried with Jezza.
Now, we've got a few very good celebrators out here tonight. Obviously, Charlie's Harley, which hopefully we see at some point tonight. But what's the best goal celebration that you guys have either called or seen or done yourself.
What about the Luke Ball goal?
Into 2011 prelim.
Yes. Yes. Didn't he jump up? He jumped up into Dane Swan or something, or Dane Swan carried him. Something like that. I thought that was pretty good. Tom Papley's hard to beat. He's a great goal celebrator.
Can I come at it from the commentator's lens then?
Mm-hmm.
BT's call of Tom Boyd's goal in the grand final.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Absolutely. You can't beat that.
We can't play it, but it was good.
Isaac?
Yeah. Oh, I actually really like what Jack Gittiman's doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He just does not care.
Yeah. Mm.
Dane Swan, when there was a back page article of the Herald Sun, Fat Club, so he was bent over and it wasn't a great photo, but Fat Club was probably a bit harsh in hindsight. Then he had an absolutely blistering Anzac Day game, kicked the goal and then rubbed
his tummy.
That's hard to beat. Well done, Rabsy. Yeah,
does that resonate with you?
Yeah. Same page.
Same paper. Yep.
He's been all over you today.
Yeah. Bit of payback.
Mine was actually one of the games that you were playing in the grand final 2 years ago when Jezza popped the can.
Oh,
that was fantastic. That was a cherry on top. Everyone knew what they were up to. The game was over, but that was a fantastic goal celebration. Last one, mullets, right?
Mm.
There's a lot floating around in society at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And there's even more floating around out on the football field. Yes or no? Mullets, yes or no?
Yep. I think a Bailey Smith can pull it off. Yep.
Well,
yeah, but he could probably pull off a shaved head as well.
True. Colton Tholstrap tonight.
I take my kids to school and I see them everywhere.
Yeah, it's hard for you to comment.
hey, what do you give to have a mullet?
I'd go for a couple of spikes on top, to be honest. Yeah, why not? If you've got hair, you may as well do something with it.
I like the look of them, but no. I'm just rock your hair and I don't know. You got to have something about you to rock it, I think.
Bit of spunk.
Bit of whiz.
So Buddy can pull it off.
Buddy could pull it off.
Yeah.
Bailey Smith can pull it off.
Yep.
Who are some of the great mullets?
Warwick Kappa,
he could pull it off.
Alan Jakovic.
Wayne Wiedemann.
Yeah.
Plugger.
Those type of guys can pull it off.
Paul Roos.
Nina Morrison.
Paul Roos. I forgot about Paul Roos. That was a real
one. Well, there it is. We're seeing this on TV.
There it
is. Mullet.
The Harvey Norman's got
the mullet. It's had a perm. I've never seen a permed mullet like this.
Well,
this is a bit of Riccardi. Bit of Riccardi about this.
So Simon Goodwin's in the rooms with Colton Throwership at the moment. Comes over, gives him a big hug and a tap on the shoulder. That's a nice moment. How would he be feeling?
So this is still Kathy's question.
Sorry.
So okay.
Sorry.
So it's a yes to mullets. It's a no to debutantes as subs. And we've said chairing off 250 minimum.
Strong.
That's it. That's the hard hitters for this week on Kathy's questions.
Excellent.
Strong start from you, K-Mac.
Now, Dave, you can talk again.
Sorry.
Now, just for those who just need a little refresher when we talk about celebrations, here is the great man, the Bristle, BT, 2016 grand final.
Dropping the ball. Boyd took the advantage and played on from inside the centre square. Boyd's kicked the goal. Boyd's kicked the goal. From inside the centre. From inside the centre square.
He's got the magic.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
20-odd minutes away from the bounce of the ball, the MCG, the Demons and the Lions. No change to the selected teams. James Tunstall is the sub for Brisbane and for Melbourne. Taj Wode, and we are in Triple M Footy Prime Time. For Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries air conditioners, put your trust in the experts in air. Kate McCarthy, who's got a lot of positive feedback after her new segment as well. Isaac Smith's been in good touch tonight. Jay-Z Clark with all of the news that matters as well. Luke Darcy to join us shortly for the bounce of the footy, Jay-Z. You've been dying to ask a question for about half an hour or so.
Yes. I did speak to Nathan Murphy, who's in one of the more interesting predicaments of the AFL playing cohort this week about his future, because the pendulum has really swung on the concussion front. I want to get to that in a second, because he's trying to change his game. And that's why he's taking time out at the moment, developing his confidence to try and take less risk on the football field. So we know he intercept marks. And he's very courageous in the air, but he's trying to remodel or adjust his approach. And Kasai Pickett now, clearly with the bump, he's an aggressive tackle-chasing defensive player. And the bump, much like his Uncle Byron, is part of his game, but he's getting it wrong. So how easy is that to do, guys? How, when you're taking an intercept mark and you're just used to flying for the ball and being so courageous, like Nick Maxwell back in the day in the air, how can you do that? Because when the game goes so quickly, it's so instinctive, you don't want to hesitate or doubt. How do you think, how easy is that to do? Have you guys ever had to change anything in your game over your careers?
Well, I absolutely never went back with the flight because I feel like I always used to say I was too smart to do it because I, you know, the time that it takes to think about it.
Yep.
The guys that do it don't think about it. They just do it. And the time that it took me to think about it, by the time I did that, obviously the moment had passed, but I was actually just way too conscious of it.
Yep.
Going back with the flight, yep, might make me soft, might make me not as courageous a player as others, but I never did it. And it was a conscious, almost decision, without it being something that was really processed in my mind. But the thing that sticks out for me when you ask that question is the stand rule coming in. Mm. So that was something that was really unnatural. So two sides of it. First of all, obviously manning the mark and standing. But the other side was, when you train to take a mark, the first thing that you're trained to do is push back. So there was no need then to push back off the mark. And that was the thing that we were then trained out of. And that took so long to process. And you'll see players now, sort of, obviously in the coaching side of things through AFLW, that's one thing that we've tried to really coach out of our players. But they've been told for so many years that when you mark it, you push back, or you mark it, you roll. You don't need to do that now with the stand rule. So that was one thing that did take a lot of coaching, still probably does. And now I'm playing a bit of local football where the stand rule isn't in. And for me to get used to that now, that the person on the mark can move and that when I'm on the mark I can move, is really hard to adjust to again.
Mm. Oh, I still got scars.
From the stand rule?
Nah, from this question and what it brings up. I've got deep-seated wounds. So I grew up playing football where, at all costs, you knock the ball on, you keep it moving. I grew up in New South Wales, and it was, you know, let's keep the ball alive, let's get it forward, all those type of things. And I get to AFL level, and I can still vividly remember probably the 300 sprays I got from Clarko for not locking the ball in and getting the ball up.
So track the ball in, get the stoppage.
Get the stoppage.
You'd be knocking it forward into space.
It took me a good couple of years to change the behaviour and fully grasp the concept. And as you get older, you understand why and you can actually see it. But as a 20-year-old, you're like, mate, we're just playing footy. Like, get it on in your own head. That's how you're trying to justify it. But now when I watch football, I see a player tap it on and the oppo end up picking it up and kicking a goal, and I'm like, why the did you just not lock it in?
That was me.
What Clarko said
AFLW, I bloody hated it when these new players would come in and knock the ball on, or they'd be breaking through a tackle and just give that one where they could have just held it in and we got a stoppage, and nothing annoyed me more. You're so right. Forward line, you got the ball, you hardly ever see it. Mm. Comes down, someone knocks it on, and then they get it out of the defence and see you later, we're not seeing it again for another 10 minutes. Absolutely infuriated
well,
me.
Well, Hodgie and Birch were the two that used to abuse me on the ground when I didn't hold it in. And you know why? Because they're the two that didn't want to run. They wanted the game to stop.
Maybe that's why I hated it so much.
What about the Hawthorn system, Isaac? Because you're a player who used to run and take bounces and take the game on. They were very kick and control, a very different style to you. And I know you took space when you needed to. How was that adjustment for you as a player?
Yeah, that was a little bit difficult as well. I was certainly taught as a player to take my grass. And that was one thing that Clarko obviously pushed as well. When I had grass in front of me, take it, take the game on, but understand the moments and the spots on the ground where to take the grass. So that took a little while as well, because naturally, and we'll see a player probably the best at it in the competition, Nelly and Joe Danaher, marks the ball and rolls and takes the game on. And it forces the defenders into mistakes, and it means, I believe, that it's easier to score. So that took a little bit of changing as well.
Mm. Teams are in, Jay-Z, for the rest of the weekend.
Big one, Caleb Daniels. Been a story for the past month, and he has been dropped from the Western Bulldogs. They take on the Bombers. Jack McRae was sub. It'll be interesting to see whether he gains that. Caleb Daniels' future, much like a few players at the Bulldogs, in a very interesting position. They take on the Bombers. Sammy Durham, Aaron Davey comes back in. Alwyn Davey, excuse me. Well, Setterfield out with a knee, and Perkins out with a hamstring as well. St Kilda in, Marcus Windhager and a debutant, Hugo Garcia. So Roscoe playing the debutants, out Hasty, and Zach Jones has been dropped, which is interesting. And at North Melbourne, this caught my eye. Jaden Stevenson dropped, Cam Zerha injured. They play Geelong down at the Cattery. Haven't beaten them, I think, since 2016. So certainly been a long time. A lot of talk about Taron Thomas and his future at the moment. The former North Melbourne midfielder, Chris Scott, said they like to be a club who has an open mind and would not rule out anything. He said we're a club who believes in second chances. So I think the Thomas link with Geelong is certainly very interesting. It's been a massive talking point throughout the week. Biggest story of the week, the Jeremy Finlayson 3-game ban. Obviously, a heavy statement or a big statement from the AFL, because a month ago, they chose not to suspend Alistair Clarkson for making a slur on field against St Kilda's Jimmy Webster. I think if the AFL had its time over again with Alistair Clarkson, they would have made a stronger statement. I think they would have suspended the coach. But it's, I guess, we're all, you know, living and learning throughout this process. But clearly, there is a line now what is absolutely unacceptable on the field. If you didn't know it already, I think the 3-game suspension to Jeremy Finlayson, that certainly makes it clear. But it has been a massive week for the AFL on that front, quite clearly. And Errol Goulden, of course, inking a 4-year contract extension, knocked back a 10-year deal. I believe that was from Adelaide to try and add some polish to their midfield.
How much?
I think it's best part of $1 million. 4 years.
Oh, no. I meant, what did Adelaide offer?
Yeah, but I think the same, if not even more. A $10 million deal.
Yeah,
you knocked back a lot of money over your time, Isaac. You said last week Melbourne offered you more.
Yeah.
But you got the success. You feel that's been worth it for you?
Oh, definitely, 100%. That's why I played football. But different players have different motivations. But what I did love about Errol, and maybe it's because I am a New South Wales guy, but I loved that he said he grew up in the academy, the Swans have put a lot of work into him, and he believes it's his time to repay the favour. And he then mentioned guys like Stephen Gerrard at Liverpool and different things like that. So, yeah, I'm a big Errol fan.
Jay-Z, you're done. Nice effort by you tonight.
Have a great call. I'll be listening, team. Can't wait for this one.
Good for you to shake the Isaac Smith tag as well. He's followed you around in his first hour and a bit. It's been like a Steven Ziller performance from Isaac Smith.
He wouldn't be walking home, would he?
The Triple M Footy Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.